The opinions, views, and beliefs of the Unknown Packers podcast do not reflect or represent those of the Green Bay Packers organization, nor are we affiliated with the Green Bay Packers. We're just a couple of fans talking football. Go Pack Go!
This is Green Bay, Green Bay.
Thank you so much for following the Unknown Packers podcast.
Winning isn't everything, but it's the only thing. Green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow,
green and yellow, green and yellow. Unknown Packers podcast. Green and yellow, green and yellow,
green and yellow, green and yellow. And let me tell you this, Green Bay is a great town. This is Green Bay, Green Bay.
And welcome to the Unknown Packers podcast for 7-1 on tap. Oh my, 7-1. Man, that sounds good. The Packers beat the Arizona Cardinals 24-21 in the desert. I know we're recording a little bit. We don't drop episodes right after the game, so you're going to get a little breakdown of the Packers beating the Arizona Cardinals. We're going to do a little fill in the blank, and then we're going to talk about the Packers' next opponent, the Kansas City Chiefs, this coming Sunday. This week, it's myself, Bryce Christensen, and I've got, who do I got here? Who's here?
You got your boy Ken Ingles here, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm doing good. This 7-1 feels great. Top of the division, top of the NFL, top of the NFC. You really can't complain. Going into this game, even if the Packers were healthy, I just had a bad kind of vibe, bad feeling about this game. And so for me, this is a real toss-up. But for them to come out with the victory, with all this adversity and injuries and being on the road in a short week, COVID in the building, like everything you can throw at this team, being able to claw and scratch their way to a victory. You know, I don't want to call it an ugly victory by any means. It's probably the best victory of the season, probably the best victory of Coach LaFleur's tenure. I'm here for it, man.
I'm with you. I tweeted out right after the Rasul Douglas of all people intercepting. And I don't mean that like in a condescending fashion. I mean, just the game on the line, I was internally processing like, okay, the Packers came in to the desert and fought tooth and nail every quarter, gave it their all without Joe Barry, without Devontae Adams, without MVS, Alan Lazard. And you have Rasul Douglas intercepting Kyler Murray in the end zone, intended for AJ Green. And I just was sort of bracing myself that the Packers were going to lose. I thought Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals were going to score. And after the Packers couldn't punch it in, which I thought was a controversial overturn with Aaron Jones initially scoring, and then they overturned it and said that he was short, turnover on downs, and then the Arizona Cardinals on like the 99-yard line, or on the one-yard line, went 99 yards, essentially, all the way into the red zone. And I just was bracing for the Packers to either lose or they were going to kick a field goal and go into overtime, and Rasul Douglas intercepting it. And I tweeted out immediately afterwards that outside of the Super Bowl wins in 96 and in the 97 season and then the 2010-2011 season, that was the best ending of any Packers game I can in recent memory for sure. And I've thought about it now since it's Thursday. We're recording on a Tuesday, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we got 4 or 5 days. My math's not good right now. It still just feels like one of the more, I don't want to say improbable victories, but I could sense that Packers Nation, Packers fan base wasn't feeling too confident. And I was a little bit more active on Twitter leading up to the game. One, because I had to miss the first half of the game, or supposed to be my first game that I was going to miss since I was in third grade. And luckily got in at halftime and watched the second half. But I'm over the moon right now. I felt good just because whenever LaFleur and like Rodgers, that combo, whenever people doubt them, I always feel like they surprise and they came out. So that was my intuition, was that they were going to come out and surprise. And what you saw, and on the NFL app, I tweeted this out again, the NFL power rankings right now have the Packers at number one. They went from 6th to number one right now. And what they said is this team has depth, they're battle-tested, and they're well-coached. The DNA of a Super Bowl championship team. And I get goosebumps. It's real. Like this season, injury after injury, no insert player's name here. The list goes on, and they figure out how to beat an undefeated Arizona Cardinals team. Are you kidding me? Coach of the year, what have you. I'm blown away with this team's performances last Thursday.
What's crazy, you know, you mentioned the injuries, and Rodgers, you made some comments too that this is, you know, memories back to the 2010 team with, you know, how injured they were. As of right now, the Packers have played 8 games. They've placed 8 players on IR during the season already. That doesn't count the 2 guys that started the year on IR, and it doesn't include Bakhtiari on PUP, and it doesn't include guys who are just inactive and hurt, and it doesn't include the COVID guys. So this team is just, they are dinged up. They are hurting, and for them to come out with that victory is just huge. And, you know, unfortunately, there were 2 more casualties of war, if you will, with both your boy Robert Tonyan and Kylan Hill going back down on the IR. But man, oh man, what a tough you know, stretch of events. But it sounds like things are kind of ramping back up, and we're going to kind of see them kind of climbing out of this. David Bakhtiari's looking a little healthy. Yep. MVS is looking a little bit better. Za'Darius Smith is back in town. Who knows what's going to happen there? Jair's hanging out, still not on IR. Or no, I mean, he's on IR, but he can come back. Josh Myers has got 1 more game to go. Lazard is back up. Like, this team is getting healthy at the right time right now, knock on wood. I know that there's still more injuries that can happen, but man, seeing what this team can do when they've got a stacked deck against them, if they're playing with a loaded hand and a full deck, you know, this team can be scary good.
I'm with you. And that's the other thing. You're trying to wrap your mind around a team that lost to the New Orleans Saints, 38-3 week 1, and have now rattled off 7 straight victories. When we wrapped up last week's episode, myself and Niebels talked about this stretch coming up is going to test the Green Bay Packers. And they're already through 1 quarter, if you will, of this stretch moving forward, where they got through the Arizona Cardinals, and we'll talk about the Kansas City Chiefs, but they've got a good 4 or 5 game stretch coming up here that you're in a good position right now. I don't want to keep winning, but at 7-1 right now, and with this tough stretch, and allow your players to get healthy and come back and get ready for December and January playoff football. This win, it just shows what this team can do. It can dig deep. And just on a short week, we haven't even touched that. The Packers played on Sunday, traveled to Arizona, and played on Thursday. That short stretch, with all the injuries, with their defensive coordinator, COVID-19, and then also Davante Adams and Alan Lazard. I mean, when we were getting the notifications and the messages of all these things happening leading up to the Arizona Cardinals game, I get why people were apprehensive, like, oh, let's just get through this game and like we'll see, because the Arizona Cardinals are undefeated and Kyler Murray's arguably MVP and they've got a great defense and they've got some playmakers. And so for this team to not be at full strength, to come out with a victory the way they did, it just boosts their confidence. And they feel like they can just take on the world. And you know what? I believe them. In Coach LaFleur's 3rd year right now, what we're seeing, it's a special, special season. And I'm here for it. So I missed the first half. And I got in at halftime. And then I caught the second half. I didn't rewatch the game. But I've been pretty active just keeping up with the news on, because I'm excited about the players that were possibly getting back maybe this Sunday. But what was your thought process like when the Packers came out in the first half? What did you think with the overall game? I know like we're all excited, but if you can break it down for me a little bit, and what was your thought process?
Man, it seemed like it was another one of those, you know, slow starts, patented Packers slow starts that we're used to, right? Where things not going well, not getting off the being able to convert, kind of looking a little sloppy as the game started. And then Hopkins had that really long completion that, had he not gone out of bounds, you know, running the tightrope there, would have been a walk-in touchdown against Stokes. But then things just kind of quickly turned around. It's crazy looking back at it now. had, you know, if it wasn't for that one play, the Cardinals would have been scoreless in the first half, which is insane to think about, just knowing how potent that they were on offense. But Hopkins wasn't right, and the Packers did a really good job of containing Kyler Murray for the most part. Coming away with two interceptions, I'll take it. No touchdowns. Now they're able to run on the Packers when it counted. You know, not they weren't exploding in the box score any means, but on a per yard average is doing pretty well, and three rushing touchdowns. But, you know, I'll harp on it a little bit. Like, clock management seemed to kind of go back to the old, same old Packers. Five timeouts were taken just to avoid delay of games. And then when they really needed a timeout avoid a delay of game on the 1 yard line, they didn't have one. I think a new NFL rule should be is you're not allowed to call timeout on first down if there's like more than 5 minutes left in the like before the half. Like it's just pointless. Take the 5 yards. Like it's just so, it's so ridiculous. But that's what gets me fired up and screaming the most during a game. And the other criticism is AJ Dillon, just a monster, but not even seeing the field, not even sniffing the field on the goal line situations. I don't need him to get the ball on every single play on the goal line, especially when they're stacking the box. But having that man on the field, especially when he's averaging over 5 yards a carry and trucking dudes, knocking men, grown men to the ground like children and getting, you know, 4 or 5 more yards, like having him on the field changes it. You know, it allows you to be able to like run a play action instead of going 4 wide. I'll never understand it. It seems like they're getting a little too fancy. They're trying to over scheme, you know, that part of the field. I know that that's been a sore spot all year long, is the red zone offense and the red zone defense for that matter. But man, oh man, like I just find a way to punch it in with the big man. You know, that's why he's here. Second round pick. Big dude punishing back, and he'd been going all game. He was the hot hand on the ground, and just to not see him on the field, I don't get it. I do not get it.
I felt like he was my surprise player going into after the Washington football team game where he coughed it up twice. I just felt like he was gonna have a bounce back game, and also we didn't have a lot of people to rely on, so I was expecting a healthy dose of Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon, and I'm with you on there. Like in the second half, you could for sure sort of scratch your head at why in those red zone. That's why you have them there, or as a decoy, even the ability to bootleg. And I see that. The one thing I did want to mention, two things before I give you my little fill in the blank. Devondre Campbell just being able, because you're expecting Kyler Murray to sort of run wild. I just was accepting the fact that he was going to get yards with his legs. And just to see Devondre Campbell control him, I believe he had a sack in the second quarter right before halftime. And then there were also a couple other really great plays that Devondre Campbell was there, able to neutralize Kyler Murray there. The defense is what's really surprising me, because you don't have Za'Darius Smith, you don't have Jaire Alexander, but they seem to just keep on getting better. You're getting production out of Dean Lowry. You're getting some really great pass rush with Kenny Clark. And man, Rashawn Gary, he is getting after the quarterback. He just, what we've wanted to see, what we've been talking about ad nauseum of, like, hey, we need to see him make that jump. He's there. He's got that swagger. Just needs to stay healthy. And those big plays are going to come. That's what's so exciting, is that I know the offense will come. You'll get Davante Adams back. You'll get MVS. You'll get Alan Lazard. As painful as it is with the Sycamore, Big Bob Tanyan going down with an ACL injury, we'll see what happens next year, all that, and wishing him the best in his recovery and his rehab. It's painful. But when you're looking at who they can replace, and I know that it's a big void, if you will, but at the same time, last year he had 11 touchdowns. This year, maybe he was getting cooking. You know, on that play, that's a big play. Mm-hmm. Maybe he starts to get cooking. Maybe, you know, it's all hypothetical now. But I'm really excited about Josiah DeGuara. I just, when he's got this, like, really, it's not even sneaky speed. It's apparent speed. You just don't think he has that speed. But when you're watching, man, that guy can zip. And so I'm expecting to see him ease into it and really start to take over Big Bob Tanyan's role.
Right.
Dominic
Dabney,
too. That's
what, you know, it's great what you mentioned about his speed, because that's really what jumped off the screen, you know, when I was watching the game, is when Josiah got those two catches. He got the ball and he was going. He was up the field. Yep. And I remember thinking, like, wow, like, where has this been? Like, where's this guy? Because we really haven't gotten to see a heavy dose of Josiah yet. And we're recording after the trade deadline has passed, the Packers not making any moves, like just like most of the league not making any moves. I know tight end was a popular fan opinion of who the Packers should go after now that Tunyon's down. But, you know, to your point, Tunyon, you know, he hadn't really turned it on yet. He wasn't, you know, lighting up the box score, if you will. And, you know, I think Josiah is one of those guys that can fill that void. You know, he's here. He's a third round pick. He's here for a reason. The coaching staff really loves him. He's kind of in his de facto rookie season this year because being lost early on last year. And yeah, the fact that Dominic Dabney is kind of a practice squad elevated guy last year, now on the active roster all this year, kind of a darling in that H-back role, it allows Josiah to be able to be more involved in the downfield offense. And I'm excited for it. We didn't talk about that ahead of time, but, you know, you and I on the same page, really looking for Josiah.
Yep.
And man, I've been a fan of his and AJ Dillon since the beginning. I know that the, you know, draft last year, those were unpopular draft picks, obviously also with Jordan Love, you know, at the top of that, you know, fans not liking the top three picks of that draft, but man, I've got a Josiah DeGuara jersey like saved in the Packers Pro Shop online shopping cart, and I haven't quite hit the button.
I did not know that.
I've been tempted for a while, and just haven't quite pulled the trigger. But you know, I think fate might allow it here if he starts kicking it up a notch.
I love it. I know that he's not a popular pick, and he's been injured too, and so he's a third round pick. He's been injured, and you start to wonder, okay. People start floating around that bust title. For me, like you said, that speed, like, it was like, whoa, like you haven't seen much of that. And I know that the coaching staff really loves him. And I know that his skill set, there's not many players like him on this team. That's why he was drafted in the third round. The Packers didn't have any fourths because they traded up to get Jordan Love. And you can break that down however you want to, but the Packers didn't have any fourth round picks, so they were afraid that DeGuara wasn't going to make it to the fifth round, so that's why they snagged him in the third. And as long as he stays healthy, he's so intriguing. And now with the injury to Tunyon, he's a guy that I'm excited about. I thought Dominic Dabney fit really well. What was he, a former bouncer that then was picked up?
Yeah, I think last that sounds year. Right.
So again, you're rooting for DeGuara. That wasn't a popular pick by a lot of people, not by the Unknown Packers podcast. We're Team DeGuara, and I'm a little intrigued now with this DeGuara jersey situation. But those are some things that I just think the offense is going to continue to get better. The question is, and I read this in the insider inbox from Wes Hockowitz, does the defense continue to get better? And you'd like to think so. And that's the thing that I really want to keep on watching, is how does this defense continue to play, especially when you're missing these key members, and do they get them back? But man, they're getting some surprising production out of unsung heroes that were Devondre Campbell, who now we all know is just the stud that he is and quite possibly all pro linebacker, and Dean Lowry, a guy that a lot of people were ready to write off, and here he is doing all the grunt work in the trenches. And when you pair that up with Kenny Clark and Rashawn Gary, and I think personally, Rasul Douglas, this isn't just like a surprise, like weak one-hit wonder sort of thing. I think Rasul Douglas, he's got the swagger. I don't know why I keep on trying to say Rasul Davis, but Rasul Douglas, he's got some swagger too. Like, he knows that he belongs, and he's got a chip on his shoulder because maybe the Cardinals didn't give an opportunity that he was a practice squad guy that the Packers plucked off of, but it'll be interesting to see moving forward when Kevin King,
right,
is Douglas ahead of him in the depth chart?
Yeah, that was my question I was going to ask you as we're going along here is, you know, let's say Kevin King and Jair come back at some point. Who's starting outside of obviously Jair? Like, who's the boundary corner?
It's a great problem to have.
Right.
I mean, and that's a thing that we haven't had the luxury of, a cornerback. I mean,
A sexy idea I heard was let's have
King or Stokes on one end, have Rasul on the other, and have Jair playing the slot.
Oh, I haven't heard that. Oh man, Jair in the slot.
That really got the gears churning up above. But yeah, that one's interesting.
I dig it. It's so exciting to talk. I mean, we were obviously very critical of the Green Bay Packers week one, and I thought a lot of it was because of this off-season stuff. But to see what Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he was glowing after that win, and to talk about how much he loves the team, and for me, it felt authentic. It just, you could tell that he really loves this team. He was going to celebrate with this team. I'm very curious what the Packers are going to, how they're going to fare against the Kansas City Chiefs, another road game. They got a little mini bye. Before we talk about the Kansas City Chiefs, I got to fill in the blank for you.
All right, let's hit me with it.
So in weeks past, our fill in the blank has always been spontaneous, or one of the things where we don't have any sort of prep. We don't know what the fill in the blank is. Not this week, and we wanted to be honest with our audience, is because it's a tough one, and we wanted to, at least my intention was, I wanted you to think about this, Ken. So my fill in the blank is general manager Brian Gutekunst, 7-1 Green Bay Packers, his best move / acquisition has been blank in his tenure. His best move / acquisition has been blank.
Man, that's tough. That's really tough. And I'm glad you gave me a little bit of time to think about it.
I got your back.
Yeah. I approached it. So what? He's been the GM since 2018. So this is his fourth season under the helm. Yeah. I tried to, like, you know me and how my brain works. I try to like make a list of like, okay, who's like the top draft move and who's like the top like acquisition, free agent, trade type of move from each year. And as I look at it, there's some impressive names, you know, in all those categories, draft and free agency. But I'm thinking it goes all the way back to his very first move.
Which we're on the same page.
Has to be, right? Like, this guy was a second team All-Pro last year and probably should have been a first team All-Pro. Mm-hmm. Just unreal what he's been able to do. Yeah, it's unfortunate that this year that Jair's been on the sideline dealing with his injury. It sounds like there's some hope that he might be able to come back, but just a shutdown, lockdown corner. You're not seeing the big play. You're not seeing the big move. Opposing quarterbacks more or less have been avoiding that side of the field for the majority of the throws, just from what he's able to do. And at a premium position, just nailing it out of the park, a home run hit with that very first draft pick landing on Jair. Just unbelievable. Now, other names, like, you also look at that same year, like an unsung hero, but an amazing move. Mercedes Lewis was a 2018 free agent pick, which I think is very underrated, what he's been able to do for this team, not just on the field as a blocker. And I know his receiving talents have not been used highly in Green Bay, but outside of that, just his leadership, the veteran presence, the tutoring, like everything he's able to do on this offense. Those two names just kind of really stood out to me. And I'm like, wow, those are like two of the very first moves that he did sitting in the big boy chair.
I love your answer. Big dog. I'm a big dog fan. And that one-handed grab, that they should have just given that to him. Just give that to him.
Yeah.
He deserved it. What a haul. If you get a chance. So I got the Washington football team game. It's always weird articulating that. But at Lambeau, I was watching the game. I paid a close attention to Mercedes Lewis just because when you're watching him on TV, I mean, some of the blocks that he makes, like, it's just like, oh man, that's got to hurt. And I wanted to see it just with fresh eyes. And he makes all these plays that don't show up in the stat sheet. And he makes his presence known, and he's a big guy. And so I like that you said Mercedes Lewis. I wasn't expecting that when I provided that fill in the blank.
Neither was I. Like, I went, you know, like I said, I was going back and like, okay, who were the moves that he did, like, in free agency? Obviously, that 2019 year is the famous year with the four big names all signing on the first day of free agency.
Yep.
But going back just one more year and bringing in Mercedes, I'm like, wow, that was huge for the culture and this team. Mm-hmm. Now, accolades, probably give it to some of those other guys, but you know, impact. It was hard to leave him off the conversation just talking about that 2018 year.
I love it. And then Jaire Alexander, too. I mean, what Gutekunst did in his first draft as general manager, trading out of what, pick 14? And having the Green Bay Packers fan base lose their collective minds of like, are you serious? You're trading down? That's what Thompson did. That's what made the fans ticked off. I remember watching that being like, oh, wow, he's trading down.
Here we go again. Same old. Ted Thompson's still running the show.
I didn't think I had that thought, but that's what Twitter was saying. That's what everyone was sort of projecting. And for him to trade back and land on Jaire Alexander, a guy that, I mean, elite speed, but was also just viewed as undersized too, but plays bigger than he actually is. And just, yeah, like you said, a home run hit in a premium position. When you started saying all the way from the beginning, and I started moaning, I guess, like just like, oh, what's going on? I thought you were going to go with my fill in the blank. You want to hear mine?
Okay. Who you got?
It's not a football player. So I think, personally, Gutekunst's best move.
Oh, I know where you're going.
Is hiring Coach LaFleur.
Yep.
And even when you look at his hire, I mean, not even talking about his winning percentage and what he's done in the 3 years that he's been here, but before that, firing Mike McCarthy after that Arizona loss with, what, 3-4 games left in the 2017-2018 season, and then Murphy firing Ted Thompson. And no, wait, that was before. So firing Ted Thompson, hiring Brian Gutekunst, having one more year, not even, of Mike McCarthy, and then firing him. And a lot of people were sort of speculating, is Murphy the one making the decisions? Is he the one that's going to meddle and all that stuff because of the post-game press conference, especially when Coach LaFleur was hired and Murphy talked a lot? And that was kind of a flaw that was viewed at from the fan base on him. But for Gutekunst, and I know that Murphy, they came to a consensus, but for them to say, hey, after one interview of all the people that they interviewed, Josh McDaniels was the big popular choice. They landed on the guy that had the second to last ranked offense. And that was what people were thinking about. And for them to hire Coach LaFleur, that Shanahan tree, and then McVay tree, if you will, not anymore, but a guy that's 33-7 in his first 40 games with an .825 winning percentage, the best in NFL history through their first 40 games, better than the likes of guys like Don Shula, Chuck Knox, and George Seifert. For me, it starts right there. How the Packers won in the desert against Arizona, it starts with Coach LaFleur. And Coach LaFleur's not there if it's not for Gutekunst. I think Murphy trusted Gutekunst and was like, all right, whatever decision you make, I trust it. And that's what, for me, I think is his best move, because all this, what matriculated right now is this move. Coach LaFleur is our head coach. I think coach of the year, you can give it to a couple other people, but what you're seeing, he's not getting enough recognition outside of Green Bay and outside of the state of Wisconsin. And that's how he kind of likes it. He doesn't boast. He owns it. He's, for me, I couldn't be prouder of the Green Bay Packers and having him as a coach, but for me, I wanted to share that with you, and that's what I thought about, was you can go with a lot, and there's a lot that Gutekunst has done, and maybe you're starting to look at him as an executive of the year, but I wanted to share that with you, and I loved your answer as well. I mean,
yeah, man, I think you nailed it with the coach. I remember at the beginning of the season, we were making predictions, and I was like, I don't know if we recorded it, and I mentioned it on an episode, if it was just like, you know, in our conversations, I'm like, man, this team can't go 13-3 again, or 13-4, or 14-3 this year, because like that's like impossible. Like, right? Like, a coach doesn't win 13 games in a row 3 years in a row. But like, they're 7-1, well on their kind of trajectory to be able to do that again. Now the schedule does get tougher, but damn,
yeah,
he is in some elite company when it comes to record after X amount of games in the league. It's just, it's unreal.
And on top of that, finessing arguably the most gifted quarterback ever in NFL history in Aaron Rodgers, and making sure that he fits into it's, and you didn't know when LaFleur was coming, you didn't know, is LaFleur going to be a yes man? like to Raj? So are they going to coexist? Because there was all this sort of
garbage.
Yeah, right. Of, oh, Rodgers isn't going to get along with LaFleur and all this other stuff. So give LaFleur credit too of going into a situation and being able to command the locker room, run the team, and also being able to coach a guy like Aaron Rodgers and his caliber and his stature. It's impressive. So this whole episode has been just accolades of just being impressed. And as you might have caught on, we didn't do a commercial break. We kind of like just going through.
Go with the flow.
But as we wrap up 7-1, ooh, that sounds good. 7-1 on tap. Packers this coming Sunday play the 4-4 Kansas City Chiefs. What say you, Ken?
Could have been the 3-5 Chiefs. Yeah, the way that right? the end of that game. Close. I'll tell you what. Hey, real quick, while it's on my mind, you know, one thing I don't want to go too long on it, but you know, with the best move. Now I'm gonna hold this as an earmark.
Okay.
The best move that Gutekunst may have made, it could end up being Jordan Love, but that also Ooh. Could end up being his worst move. We'll see what the future holds, and we can play this back, you know, for future Ken and future Bryce to either laugh at or applaud.
Ooh. Hey, before you go now, I wanted to mention happy birthday to Jordan Love.
Hey,
November 2nd, it is his birthday as we're recording on a Tuesday, but November 2nd, happy birthday, Jordan Love. Oh, man, excited to see what you can do, buddy.
Yeah, so, yeah, this will be an interesting one. You know, Chiefs really kind of coming back down to earth a little bit after their Super Bowl runs and victory. Mahomes is looking a little bit more human these days, yeah. But, man, he's been a turnover machine.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not the film guy. I'm not the all 22 film analyst that are all out there. But, you know, the book out there is that right now Mahomes isn't taking the open receiver. You know, mm-hmm. some of that criticism that maybe Aaron Rodgers had 2-3 years ago where, you know, looking kind of for the big play. And, you know, when your defense is terrible, like the Packers of years past have been, Rodgers kind of had to be that guy that needed to score 30 points because your defense was going to give up 28. And you're kind of getting feelings of that a little bit with this team where the offense is, you know, makes the Chiefs go. They kind of ride or die with how the offense and Mahomes can do on a week in and week out basis. And the defense is just kind of going to be there. You know, they'll have their big moments, but man, it's rough. But again, I think right now the betting odds on this are damn near 50-50.
Okay.
It's never a team I want to write off as, you know, quarterback is the most important position of all of professional sports, and Mahomes is a damn good one. We got a good one too. So, this could be the State Farm
showdown
bowl. Yeah, the discount double check bowl here, where it could be a shootout. But you never know. I know that this is a game that fans have wanted for some time to watch Rodgers Mahomes, and I'm here for it, man. I'm excited, but as of right now, it's hard to count this team out. I'm rooting for I think the Packers are going to come away with the victory. Especially, it sounds like Bakhtiari is going to be back, which mm-hmm. helps. You know, that offensive line can just be fortified even yep. more. And then after that, Meyer's coming back. They can just be a freaking brick wall in front of Rodgers. Getting some of the receivers back. You know, haven't heard a lot on Adams.
Same.
You know.
Yeah, I was hoping maybe you were going to share something. I haven't heard anything either.
No, like he's still on the COVID list. You know, coach made it, I say maybe Thursday is a day where he could come back. But again, it all depends on testing and negative tests and whatnot. So we'll see. I know Malik Taylor was out for 2 weeks. Mm. Last year, Dylan was out for
a long time.
4 or 5 yeah, weeks.
That's right.
You know, this can, you know, it messes with people differently. So hoping for the best there, but regardless of his status, this should be a good one. This will be a real test too for this defense as it continues to climb the rankings in terms of, you know, their defensive yeah. performance week in and week out. And that's been the overall surprise, especially after week one, where we're right. like, what the hell is this Barry hire in defense yeah, doing? Right. Same old. Yeah. Bring back Pettin, bring back Capers. but no, it's how the stories change 7 weeks later.
It's exciting, man. It's exciting. I love the foresight with the Kansas City Chiefs and the Green Bay Packers game. You got the Kansas City Chiefs, they're 4-4, who just beat the New York Giants on Monday night with a last-minute field goal, 2017. Yeah, Mahomes, I think he had like 250 yards, touchdown and interception, so very just under average, subpar for Mahomes, but they still got Tyreek Hill, who is a burner. It'll be exciting, though, because if it's Stokes and Hill, you've got like, what, 4.28 speed and then 4.25 speed in Stokes. So that'd be a fun little matchup, speed versus speed. We'll see what happens. Stokes seems to be a fast learner. So him getting schooled, if you will, a little bit by DeAndre Hopkins. Let's see if he can bounce back against Tyreek Hill. You got Mecole Hardman, who's another speedster, and you got Travis Kelce as well. They don't have any sort of run game. And then on defense, you got the Honey Badger with Matthew, and then you've got Frank Clark, ex-Seattle Seahawk. But it's going to be Mahomes and Rodgers, and I personally think, again, it's going to be the Aaron Jones show, what much was like in 2019, Coach LaFleur's first year, where I think they were out without Davante Adams again, and they lined up Aaron Jones. They either motioned out to wide receiver, or they had a bunch of different wide receiver screens. I recall he busted out a long one against Daniel Sorensen. It was like a 60-70-yard pass and catch from Aaron Jones, or from Rodgers to Jones, who took it to the house. I'd like to see if they go back to that a little bit. Aaron Jones as a wide receiver, setting or motioning him out wide, setting up those wide receiver screens. I just think you get the ball in his hands as much as possible. He's elite. It's incredible what he can do, and pair that up with AJ Dillon, keep him going. But like you said, David Bakhtiari could be back. Adams, MVS, Lazard, we'll see. LaFleur did say he wants his opponent left in the dark, so we're not going to know anything about David Bakhtiari, I'm sure, probably until Sunday, right? Like, that's kind of what the Green Bay Packers do. They hold close to the vest, and they probably won't leak out anything sort of that unless they're required to with what, the injury report?
Yeah, Saturday would be the cutoff. No transactions are allowed on Sundays unless it's a COVID replacement. So we should know by Saturday afternoon if Bakhtiari is going to be active or not, or act on the active roster. Now, he might be activated, but be not able to play or not playing in the game. So there might be a little bit of gamesmanship going on there too.
Okay.
Regardless, by next week, he will be on the active roster. But again, it's how long he's going to be out. So, yeah, I don't think LaFleur is going to fully show his cards on that one. And we'll see.
Well, giddy up, Packers fans. I mean, it's great to get back in the saddle once again with you, Ken, talking 7-1 on tap. Oh, man, that's so sweet.
Hell yeah.
Any last words before we bid adieu for another week?
Go, Pack, go. Let's talk 8-1 next week, Bryce.
8-1, baby. Get eat up. Go, Pack, go. I am your co-host, Bryce Christensen.
And I'm Ken Engels.
And this is the Unknown Packers Podcast. Thank you so much for following the Unknown Packers Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Unknown Packers, as well as Facebook, Instagram, the Unknown Packers Podcast. You can check us out on our website, theunknownpackers.com, and a variety of different podcast platforms as well. You can also say, hey, Alexa, play the Unknown Packers Podcast. That's right. We're friends with Alexa. Go Pack, go.
This podcast was edited and produced by Sonic Transformation. Sonic Transformation. Your sound refined.